Do you know whom the Jews were expecting when they were looking for the Messiah? The Jews of the Old Testament were looking for one person who would be sent from God and who would be for them the righteous servant, the compassionate Savior, and the King of Kings. They called this one the Messiah. Our word for that is Christ. The word Messiah means the Anointed One, and that's exactly what the word Christ means. You know, we use the word christen when we speak about a ceremony in which we dedicate, we'll say, something. We talk about christening, although some of us don't use the word, but some of us do. Well, that word christen comes from the same word as the word Christ. And the Hebrew for it is Messiah. It means anointed. And it's a reference to a ceremony by which a person would be designated to fill a certain office. We sometimes use the word installation or coronation, something like that. And that's very much the same as we would have this here. Now let me say this to you again. In the Old Testament times, among the Jewish people, they were looking for someone whom God would send who would be the righteous servant, somebody who would be the compassionate Savior, someone who would be the King of Kings. And as they studied the scriptures and studied the prophecies and studied the predictions about this person, they even thought there must be several of them, at least two, because they did not see how the sufferings of the Messiah and the glory that was to follow in the Messiah could belong to the same person. These Jewish people in Old Testament times, they believed in the law of God. They felt it was the eternal requirement of God upon man, and they felt the law of God should be obeyed. And in their prophets told them that God would send a Messiah who would live the perfect life and would obey the law in its fullest. And again, these people in Old Testament times, they believed in the mercy of God. They believed in the long-suffering and the loving kindness of God, and they were, in through the Psalms, you'll get the phrase, the goodness of God endureth forever, over and over again. And part of this goodness and this mercy and this long-suffering and this loving kindness of God would be brought out in this, that He would save His people. And they looked for a Savior, a Deliverer. And they believed that Messiah would save them. So these people believed in the sovereignty of God. They believed Almighty God was over everything. And they believed that God would send a ruler who would rule over His people. And this they thought would be Messiah. In addition to that, they had been quite specific, and you'll remember when reading in Matthew about this, that the Old Testament prophets had predicted that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Now, at the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, because of their national plight, they were having so much trouble in the country, many were looking for a Messiah at any time. They felt if ever there was a time they needed deliverance, this was the time, and they were looking for the Deliverer. There came at that time into the community of the Jews, in Jerusalem and around Jerusalem and up in Galilee and all among the Jews, a very remarkable preacher, a young man by the name of John. He was the son of a priest, and he had grown up out in the country, and he was clothed in the garments of a country person. We speak of him wearing a leather girdle or a leather jacket, which would be the clothing that would be worn by a man from the country. And when you read about him that his diet, his menu, was locusts and wild honey, you shouldn't let that trouble you too much. That was the meal, that was the food of poor people. And he lived among the poor people of the world. But he was a remarkable preacher. I do not know how I could share with you in a way that you would take away with you how and what a remarkable preacher this young man was. He had evidently begun to preach when he was in the neighborhood of 30 years of age, maybe a little earlier than that, And the people had become very much attracted to him. In one of the Gospels we read, all Jerusalem went out to hear him. And you'll remember that Jerusalem was a city of Jews, and you know that the Jews are very stolid people when it comes to religion. Well, they went out en masse to hear this young evangelist preach, John the Baptist. Some wondered whether this prominent young preacher might not actually be the Messiah. Maybe this was the one who would lead them out of their troubles and would effect deliverance for them. But this is what we're going to look at now. And picking up our story from where we stopped yesterday, we, in the first chapter of John, we will begin at the 15th verse. And this is what we read. Speaking in the, up till then, the first 14 verses had been dealing with the Word of God, which we understand is John's way of referring to Jesus Christ. Now verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. You see, John, when they would come to him and would ask him whether he was the Messiah, and would look and see whether or not they wondered whether or not he was possibly the one that would deliver them, he'd say, Oh, no, I'm not. There's one coming after me. He's greater than I am. And John's way of referring to him was, I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. I couldn't undo his shoe latchet, is the way he felt about the person after him. Then he went on, and here, I think that these verses that you have here in verses 15 to 18 were written by John, the writer of the Gospel of John, and were quoting John the Baptist's testimony long years afterwards. This is the sum and substance of what John the Baptist said about him. Of his fullness have all we received grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's a quick way of saying that Jesus Christ was greater than Moses and took us further than Moses. And then in verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That's the way in which it's all set up as to what John would have said about Jesus Christ. But now look in verse 19, and from there on, you'll have it even more specifically. In verse 19, you will find the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? What sayest thou of thyself, is the way in which they would put it, as you see in verse 22. And then he told them very plainly, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then, art thou Elias? He said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? They answered, No. Those were promises in the Old Testament, that Elijah must first come, and that the prophet would come, and so on. And they wanted to know, Are you the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises? And he frankly said, No. And then they said, Well, who are you, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And then in verse 23, he identifies himself. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord. And this is a quotation from the book of Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 3 in the book of Isaiah. You'll have just these very words. By the way, make straight the way of the Lord is prepare for him. Open up the way before him. In one place it says, to cut down the hills and fill up the valleys and make a straight pathway for the coming of the Lord. This is a way of saying prepare. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, get ready for the coming of the Lord. Now in verses 25 on through down to verse 33, you will see how John uses the phrase, I baptize with water. And we're going to be referring to this again when we get over into the third chapter. But just now, let me bring to your mind the idea that when John says, I baptize with water, he means to say, use water in the sense of cleansing. It's a good way like saying, my particular function in this getting this meal ready is to wash the utensils. My business is to clean out the kettles. My business is to prepare. I baptize with water for the washing away of sins, cleansing in preparation, but Messiah is coming soon. And when Messiah comes, he will do, which is a way of saying, I am exercising myself to wash the kettle and cleanse the kettle, but when Messiah comes, he'll use it. He'll put something into it and he'll prepare you a meal. Then in verse 29, you have him saying specifically, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, This does not necessarily mean that this was the first time he saw Jesus of Nazareth. Some other time we may want to spend more time on this. Just now I want to remind you that John's mother, Elizabeth, and the mother of the Lord Jesus, who was Mary, were cousins. It's altogether likely that John and Jesus, as second cousins, knew each other in that relatively small family situation. They likely knew each other. But he did not know, John did not know, that Jesus of Nazareth, his second cousin, was going to be the Messiah. But by the time he wrote this, is quoted, and John the Apostle quoted him here, this would refer to something that he afterwards had to say about him. When he says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Then he went on and identified him. "This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me." And then he goes on to tell us there also how he knew who it would be, because it says that he didn't know him personally, wouldn't have recognized him, but the one who sent him to baptize with water told him that the one upon whom the Spirit of God would descend, that would be the one that would baptize with the Holy Spirit, namely that would be the Messiah. And in verse 34 he says, "I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." And so all that we can get from this in this short look at it here today in this passage of the Bible and of the Gospel of John is that John the Baptist identified Jesus of Nazareth as the Christ, as the Messiah. Our God and Heavenly Father, we pray thy blessing upon our hearts as we hear these things, that thou wilt enable us to grasp this truth and take it to our hearts and rest in it, that we ourselves can look to the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who will actually baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.